For the first time in 3 decades, Whanganui is going to get its first frequent bus service. It's called Te Ngaru, or the Tide, and it runs from Castlecliff through to Aramoho, with stops in the city centre and hospital. To tell us more, we're joined by Whanganui District Council Representative for Horizons Regional Council's Passenger Transport Committee. Hi there, Anthony Tonnen.
Hi there, Jesse. Nice to talk to you.
I guess we could just say local public transport advocate. How did you get involved with this bus project?
Well, it's sort of my hobby. I fell deep into the well of public transport advocacy a few years ago. And I started representing the Whanganui District Councillors to the body that plans public transport in the Horizons region. So Palmerston North, Whanganui, places like Martin and Levin as well. And, you know, the kind of what really interested me about Whanganui is that we built our city around a great public transport system, a tram system. But also, even after the trams left in 1950, we had a great bus system. And of course, we've always had the Jury Hill elevator, or at least since 1919. And it really surprised me to learn that we used to have frequencies of up to every 15 minutes with the trams and then the buses that followed. But the Whanganui that I moved to in 2017, the frequency of buses is 2 hourly in most places. Wow. And that's because for a while in the 1990s, towns like Whanganui and Palmerston North actually had their bus systems taken away because we as a society felt that we didn't need them anymore, and we sort of reorganized things so that they left. And the buses did come back in the 2000s, but we put them back in such a way that they would sort of come much less frequently, and they weren't really intended for everyone to take them. They were there more as a means of last resort, as a safety net if you couldn't afford a car or you were, say, too old or too unwell to drive. And I'd come to love public transport in places like Auckland, where I'd lived, that was a bit more aimed at everyone, and you could just turn up at the bus stop and know that there was a bus not too far away. So I wanted to see if we could do the same thing in Whanganui.
Yeah, it must be quite a bit of interesting theory around buses, right? No one will take the bus if it's only every 2 hours, but potentially, if you what's the kind of that build it and they will come thing, right? If people know that there's going to be one coming, I guess they're more likely to actually change their lifestyle around using it.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing too, is that change in local government tends to be incremental. So, but it's very hard to improve a bus system going from 2 hourly to an hour and a half to an hour and so on. You're not going to change people's mindsets unless it's a level of frequency that busy people can work their life around. And so the challenge for us at Whanganui District Council and at Horizons Regional Council was, what's a project we can do that's a little bit of a circuit breaker, a little bit of a step into that way we used to provide public transport in Whanganui, but also the way that's been working quite well in the last couple of decades in places like Auckland, Wellington, and even some smaller places like Queenstown.
Yeah, it's I don't know Whanganui's topography super well. I've been there a few times, but Castlecliff is coastal, and then Aramoho, I see there's a cemetery that's sort of on the northeastern end of the town. So if you imagine the town as being kind of a long sort of settlement that follows the river, you'll be going from one end of it to the other, hey?
Yeah, so the good thing about the way Whanganui is laid out, and it was built around a tram system, is that it's a big long snake following the river. Mm. And so that's actually quite advantageous for public transport, and it worked for the trams because you don't necessarily need the sort of thing that Hamilton or Christchurch has where they've got an orbiter service that goes around in a circle. You can reach a large population on one line. This new frequent service doesn't reach everybody because it's a first step, but it does reach 70% of our current patronage. And so it's the best place for us to try a really transformational approach, and you can also connect to it. So your bus from another part of town, you can take that and use the B card to switch for free to this frequent service, which can take you to the hospital or the beach, which is somewhere where no matter where you live in Whanganui, you might want to go to.
What's the point of a bus service in a town which is comparatively small, Anthony?
Well, it's funny because there's sort of a myth that public transport won't work in small places, but actually the test of that is to simply put the same resourcing per person into small places and large places. And we used to do that, so we used to have a pretty similar level of public service in public transport in Whanganui as opposed to Wellington or Auckland. The difference now is since the 1990s, public transport has been able to revive in places like Auckland and Wellington. But the tide's sort of been very out for places like Whanganui. So at the moment, we spend about $10 or $11 per person in Whanganui on public transport before this service comes in, whereas in Auckland, we're spending $170 per person. Mm. So actually, and quite often in a town like Whanganui, where we have a good street layout, where we didn't grow too much in the car era, and people do live along those public transport corridors, we can actually provide a really great level of service, more efficiently than a lot of other places, including some major cities. So for the same price per person, or even less, we can have it so that people can actually get around their town without needing to always jump in their car to do a short trip.
Yeah. I'm inferring from your comments there that this will be a subsidised service. How do the numbers stack up and what will success look like?
Yeah, so it's a small step. It's still not going to take us to the level of spend that say Palmerston North spends on public transport or Wellington spends on public transport per capita. But Whanganui's gone from having 70 trips per person per year in the middle of the century to 3 trips per person per year currently. And for context there, Auckland saw itself as really making big strides there over the last 2 decades because they went from about 30 trips per person to 60 trips per person. So I think for Whanganui, success will be, you know, seeing if we can get a little bit higher than 3 trips per person. I'm optimistic that we can go a lot higher than that.
But you're not expecting it to pay for itself, at least in the short term.
No, well, I mean, even in London, you know, in the best public transport systems in the world, we always treat them the way that you treat roads. You know, we expect a good public transport system to maybe pay 50% of its way if it's really successful, just the way that you do expect to put some funding and some capital into roads to make sure that people can use them.
It's a strong argument. What then are some of the indirect benefits of a bus system that works and is well used?
Well, for people that do drive and for people that need to drive, the goods vehicles, service vehicles, it means less cars on the road. For me, you know, I always think there's actually just a very real and tangible benefit to people being able to get around their town. I mean, at the moment, Castlecliff is a long way from the city, and this service will have a Friday night service. So at the moment, if you are staying late for dinner or maybe a drink or two on Friday nights in the city, a taxi to Castlecliff will cost you $30. So that will take that cost down by $29, while the half price subsidy is still there. But the other thing, I mean, in terms of emissions, I'd argue that regional towns are places where we can get easy wins. You know, we saw the patronage of public transport increase hugely in Auckland in the 2000s, simply because we hired more drivers and put more buses on the road. More wins in places like Auckland for emissions are requiring big infrastructure projects. The kind of low-hanging fruit has been taken. But in places like Whanganui or Palmerston North or Hamilton or Napier, those easy wins that we got in Auckland in the 2000s are still there to be taken. And we've got a city the size of Auckland of population living in places like Hamilton, Napier, New Plymouth, and Whanganui. So I think it's a great place to pick up those easy wins.
Nice one. Sounds good. How is the elevator going, by the way?
It's good. I'm there now. I've just finished my shift and Rachel's taken over.
Just give people the brief nutshell on that one.
Yeah, so Whanganui actually already does have a frequent public transport service, just not a bus service. So the elevator, the Jury Hill elevator, gets you from the city. You do have to walk 200 metres through an underground tunnel, but it gets you up to the garden suburb of Jury Hill in less than 10 minutes combined with your walking. And the great thing is we can take a trip every 5 minutes or less. So we're actually one of New Zealand's most frequent public transport services. And because we've stayed here untouched pretty much since 1919, we're still offering a kind of service that we did in the middle of the century. So I like to think of the Jury Hill elevator as a good counterfactual. You know, it's a step into an alternate universe where we didn't change things so much in the 1990s. But it also points to what we can do even in a regional city.
Nice one. Thanks, Anthony. On the music front, looking forward to having you in playing with us next Friday. And thanks for all the energy and intelligence you're putting into the Whanganui area.
Thanks, Jesse. Look forward to seeing you again.
Anthony Tonin on the new bus service every 20 minutes, that one route through Whanganui.